T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Major extensions and contracts that are signed in Major League Baseball.
Seems like it's a trend. It is what it is.
Hour number 3, Dale O'Keefe, WEEI. That, of course, the voice of Mookie Betts. Dale, it seems like every star player is signing these massive extensions, whether they're a free agent like Harper or Machado, or if it's their own guy. You know, we've seen Nolan Arenado.
It could be any of those.
I don't know. Mike Trout signs a monster deal.
You got that name. Nailed it.
Mike Trout was able to get that one. Even Alex Bregman avoiding some arbitration. He just signed a big deal. What about your guy, Mookie Betts?
I said to you yesterday, I would drop a big number on him right now. I would drop literally $400 million on him right now, based on the other comparables that are out there.
Right.
And if what he basically says is, you know, I don't think so.
He's been kind of consistent along the way with the, I want to pass the baton. Meanwhile, the other superstars around him and the real comps like Mike Trout around him are making a ton of money, but don't seem to be as concerned about getting to the open market and wanting to see exactly what the price is. Because Trout is better than Betts. We talked about this yesterday. There's not many players in the league better than Betts. Trout's one of them.
There may only be one.
Yeah, right. It may just be one. I like Arenado, even though I can't say his name. He may be in the conversations better than Betts. We don't see him a lot. He's a little bit older than Betts as well. He's an unbelievable player, but it's a very, very short list. But so Betts spoke today. That cut you just heard was from today, and he's being asked, much like right after the Machado deal or after the Harper deal, he was asked about the Trout deal. And I think the most damning thing for a Red Sox fan to hear would be this. Here's the question. Do you expect going into the season without anything being done?
At this point, are you kind of expecting to go into the season without anything getting done?
That's exactly what I expect. I didn't expect anything to happen until I'm a free agent. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, you just got to go out and play. I mean, can't worry about the economics of the game right now. They have to take care of what they have to take care of. I have to take care of what I have to take care of. But the common thing is to win a World Series, and I think it's definitely what we both want to do.
It's exactly what he expects.
Exactly
not to have a
what
deal.
I didn't want to hear.
Yeah, because you other said words, yesterday.
Yeah, what he basically just said was, I don't expect anything will get done until I'm a free agent. Which means if I'm the Red Sox, I have to trade him next offseason.
Why doesn't he want to be here?
Well, he claims he does.
He does claim that. But these other guys are willing to, and they're all setting record deals. And they've proven this offseason, whether you're a free agent or you have 2 years left on your deal, you could set a record for
Bregman
not just
had like 3 arbitration years
yes,
left or something.
It's not just a baseball record. We're talking about professional sports or American professional sports, 430 or whatever it ends up being for Mike Trout. So if the Red Sox offered him $400 million, would he take it? It doesn't really seem like it.
I mean, based on how he's talking, I'm not sure if they dropped $500 million on him.
Right.
Because what I think he and his agent are saying is, no matter what they offer, we'll do better when we're free agents.
That must be what the thought is, to say, well, if this team is going to offer you this much now, you got to jump at the opportunity. Don't jump at it. Wait. Get the Dodgers bidding. Get the Phillies bidding. The Yankees are always a player. Get all these teams involved, and you're going to be able to get more. Because that's what happens. I mean, even if he's not better than Mike Trout, guess what? Mike Trout's not going to be a free agent in 2 years. When he would have been on the same market as Mookie Betts, which would have knocked off one of the suitors. So now there'll be more people involved. But part of it, like, what if you have a really bad year? What if you have a really terrible injury? Like, wouldn't you want some of that security? Like, think about what Mike Trout, he could have gone to the open market in 2 years, and maybe he would have gotten $450 million. Maybe he would have gotten $475 million. But he looked at it and said, I'm guaranteed 66 over the next 2 years. I'm going to go ahead and cash in now.
So Sam Kennedy said a month or so ago that the Red Sox, first of all, are absolutely adamant. They want to keep Mookie Betts. They want to sign him. He's exactly the kind of player that you want to keep here. And apparently, according to Betts, there have been discussions to that end.
There was a report yesterday that you had been made an offer last year. Were you made an offer last year?
Yeah, I made an offer last year. And like I said, that was just a disagreement, which is, you know, perfectly fine.
Yeah, so he got lowballed. Or at least to him. According to him, he got lowballed. Because wasn't one of the reports out there that I saw, was it closer to like $200 million? I think it was something like that. But this was also, you got to remember, before...
Well, this was last season.
Before his MVP season.
And before all of these other contracts,
yeah.
Which, as we said yesterday, all the comparables are now on the table.
All of them. Anybody that you would want to know what they would make, it's there for you. Because the age... And the ability, it's Trout. He's better than Harper. I mean, you go through it. Harper he won an MVP. He's this great talent, but nobody is as consistent as Trout, including Mookie Betts. But you see what that is. And I thought it was kind of interesting if Harper was worth $330 million and Trout is worth $430 million, then Betts is probably worth like $380 million, or maybe $390 million, right? He's in between the two, maybe on the closer end to Mike Trout. But it just doesn't seem like he really wants to be here.
Joel Sherman has reported that it was after the 2007 season he was offered 8 years, $200 million.
Okay. So after the 2017 season.
17.
Yeah. 2007 season would have been something else.
That would have been a good offer. He should have taken it.
He should have pounced on that as a sixth grader. But so after the 2007 season where he hit 264, 24 home runs, 102 RBI, a down year from 16, but he was still sixth in the MVP voting. So that was the offer. And I think fair to offer that. Also completely fair to turn it down.
Sure.
To bet on yourself and say, no, I can do better than that. And I could also see Mookie Betts with one. If this was his walk year, 1 year to get, I could see him saying, no, I'm this close. I don't care what you offer me. I'm going to get to free agency. But with 2 years left, if somebody drops $400 million on you, I don't know. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of time to maybe get hurt or maybe have a down year or something. And if you're talking about signing one of these 10, 12-year deals that these other guys have recently signed, you do it now at 26 compared to at 28. I feel like that's also a big difference.
You asked the question yesterday, is there a number? Does Mookie Betts and his agent have a number right now? And it seems clear to me they do not.
No.
They just know whatever number the Red Sox are offering, that ain't it. I don't know what the number is. Apparently the Red Sox don't know what the number is. But I got to believe Betts and his agent, if they had a number, and I don't think they do.
No, I don't think so either. If the overall number starts with a 4 and he turns it down, then he's not coming back at all. And you jumped on this yesterday. You were saying, look, with 2 years to go, you can't simply let him walk away. One of the best players you've ever had, he walks away for a compensatory
pick. For a fourth-round comp pick.
You can't do it. But what if you have another great run this year, win the World Series or get to the World Series, and this guy's in the mix again for MVP? And then in the offseason, you trade him away for prospects? Like, how do you do that? When you're a contender, how do you trade him away?
I mean, what if, God forbid, he Nomar Garcia Parra's this? Where, you know, he gets offered a big deal, he says no.
Right.
God forbid something happens, and he's going, damn, I wish I'd taken that.
It could absolutely happen. Now, we talked about whether or not he likes Boston or not, and it was a pretty interesting juxtaposition with Isaiah Thomas this week, where there hasn't been an athlete, I think, ever who has loved Boston as much as Isaiah Thomas.
Yep.
And then Mookie Betts, I wouldn't suggest he hates it. It just seems like he's kind of indifferent, but here's what he had to say about being in Boston.
Red Sox guys are all on the record saying that they want you to be here for a long time, that they made that clear to you. Do you feel like that's going to make clear to you?
Yeah, they definitely told me plenty of times. I love it here in Boston. You know, it's a great spot. I definitely grown to love going up north in the cold and all those type of things. But you know, it definitely doesn't mean I want to sell myself short of my value.
He's lying. So what can you get in a trade for Mookie Betts?
Sell myself short of my value. Again, I go back to a simple question.
Yeah.
if Dave Dombrowski, and it may be above his head, if John Henry said to Mookie Betts, okay, Mookie, tell me the number that you'll sign for. I don't think he has it.
I don't think so either. And I think he wants to go down south after listening to that. Yeah. He's finally kind of, he's like, oh, the cold weather, I've kind of dealt with it. So I think if Atlanta wants to pony up a lot of money, maybe some of the Texas teams, some of the Florida teams, if those guys want to get involved at all. But that is just bizarre because the Red Sox will, I would assume they would offer as much as anybody else if it got to that. Right, like if they're forced into it, and I guess Mookie Betts and his agent just want sort of that unknown, and he's with the VC Sports Group. He's not a Boris guy.
No,
he's a VC Sports Group, whatever that is.
I read the names. There's two guys. I read them earlier today.
One V and one C.
I don't know.
I don't know, but they're obviously gonna be making a ton of money. But he wants to play this thing out, and it's gonna put the Red Sox in a really weird spot, because guess what? They also have a bunch of other guys they got to figure out, right? Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale, J.D. Martinez.
Andrew Benintendi.
I would say much lesser degree, no, Jackie Bradley. Right. But all those guys are on that list. And if they are you committing $35 million a year to Betts, or are you not? And then if you're moving on from him, you can't just say, see you later to, you know, Bradley and to him and Martinez. Now all of a sudden you go from this great outfield to no outfield.
John Henry made it a point when he was speaking to the media early on in training camp that they screwed up the John Lester thing. His words, not mine.
Yeah.
You know, we screwed that up. I would like to think that what that meant was they aren't screwing this one up. In other words, they didn't go to Mookie with an offer as like half of, like you just saw 430 thrown at Mike Trout. I hope to God they didn't go to Mookie and say, how does 200 sound?
Yeah.
I don't think they did that. I don't believe that they would be that stupid to do that again. But I think what they're negotiating against here is someone who doesn't have a counter. I can't give you a number,
yeah,
John.
That's the thing.
I got to see what happens when I hit free agency. And if I'm the Red Sox, I deal him before that happens.
So is this the last year for Mookie Betts Sox uniform? It really does. 617-779-7937. We'll have more on Mookie Betts. Also, Stephen A. Smith at it once again. I don't know if this is just shtick now with Stephen A. Smith or if this is what's really going on with him, but we'll have that when we come back on Dale and Keefe Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I think what's clear is that he wants to say, one, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't commit a crime. People can decide for themselves if it's right or wrong, but he'll be able to say, I didn't commit a crime. And he can go to Roger Goodell and say, whatever you want to do to me, I did not commit a crime. So that's a big sticking point.
So it's TJ Quinn from this morning with Mutt and Callahan, and we were going to talk about Stephen A. Smith, but this just in, Dale, and really no surprise.
This is breaking news with Dale and Keith, brought to you by...
Although not surprising, I think we both predicted this yesterday, but the Boston Globe, the first to report, Robert Kraft rejects plea offer from Florida prosecutors in soliciting prostitution case. We didn't think he was going to lawyer up the way that he did to accept that type of a plea offer.
We mentioned this yesterday, and again, I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on the radio.
Well, you've seen shows, though.
I've seen
movies,
lots of shows. I talk to Mike McCann from time to time.
Yep, that helps.
Practically makes me a lawyer.
Makes you smarter.
I mentioned that the proposal from State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg seemed different to me. The whole idea, and normally these deferred prosecution cases don't carry the stipulation which says, I admit that I've looked at the evidence. If this thing went to trial, I would be guilty. They don't normally have to do that.
It seemed odd at the time.
And the piece in the Boston Globe, which talks about them rejecting this thing, quotes an attorney who is defending some of these clients down there. A guy named Jordan Wagner represents at least 15 clients who face charges in the whole sweep. He said his clients were also facing a new set of rules from Ehrenberg's office. He said under the deal, defendants would have to provide a sworn statement detailing their knowledge of illicit activity at the day spa in question. They'd have to accept responsibility for their actions and agree that if the case was to go to trial, the state would be able to prove their guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, he's saying this is new. Now, this is an attorney from down there. He's represented some of these guys. He said these are new rules from this office. And Robert Kraft's side, according to this Globe piece, said the exact same thing, that this state attorney is pushing the legal requirements for what is called deferred prosecution beyond what is routinely expected in misdemeanor cases.
This whole case seems out of whack. Like, it's getting away from them a little bit. You know, when it started with the human trafficking, and then that has really gone by the wayside. And now Robert Kraft, which has really pushed this thing into, you know, the mainstream. And now they have this plea offer. And so far, because they talked with another lawyer, too, in this Globe story, I don't think any of the Johns are accepting this offer. Because I thought, hey, if you're somebody else, if you're not an owner of an NFL team, maybe you say, whatever, fine. I just guaranteed no jail time, some community service. I got to pay a fine, and I'm out of there. Don't have to go to court. Don't have to do all this stuff. But it doesn't seem like it's a great deal. And so, and again, that's also where you start. So that's the first thing. And now maybe you're going to have a little bit more of a back and forth. TJ Quinn also tweeted out recently, and this is a fair question. He said, so why would Kraft bother to fight two misdemeanor charges when they wouldn't affect his ability to get a job or a loan? One, if convicted, makes things tougher with NFL. Two, sources say it's personally important to him not to admit to a crime, even if he doesn't dispute basic facts.
See, this normal deferred prosecution, I think he'd go for. I think he'd say, okay, I'll do the 100 hours of community service. I'll do the John's School. That's my term, not theirs.
Yeah,
I'll be tested for STDs.
School of John's.
Okay, I'll do all that. And then the normal deferred prosecution is 6 months down the road or a year down the road, whatever it is, he hasn't done anything else wrong. The arrest disappears. It's off his record. He has not admitted guilt. He's accepted some of the punishment,
right?
But it just disappears. But under the deal the state is offering him, he and the other John, the other guys, I have to admit that I'm guilty.
But he is guilty. Well, I mean, right? I mean,
but,
from what we see,
the
he
way
is.
These cases are normally handled, right. He doesn't have to say that. The minute he says that, the NFL is going to come down harder.
Yeah, but I think they're going to come down pretty hard on him regardless. And I just feel like he's getting hung up on this, where he's saying it's, and this is also in the Globe story as well as from TJ Quinn, that it is really important to him not to have to admit guilt. And I don't know. I just feel like if you're not guilty, that's fine. And you can fight it forever. And then, you know, like, why would you admit something that you didn't do? You wouldn't. And I can understand why people would go down with that. And again, going back to some of those documentaries that I've watched, these true crime ones, guys don't want to say that they murdered somebody when they didn't. And you can understand why you wouldn't want to do that. But with this, and if there really is video evidence, you did this. And even though there's not human trafficking, you were never charged with that. This is you have two misdemeanors for solicitation, and you won't admit guilt? Like, I don't understand why that is so important to you if, in fact, you did it.
Well, because the whole guilt thing look, we know what happened.
Yeah, we
think we know what happened.
Yeah.
The public perception is we know what he did.
Right.
But the minute he says, I'm guilty, the state would be able to prove me guilty. It changes the legal ramifications.
If he said, I'm guilty, or if he does this deal where it's the old, I'm not saying I'm guilty, but I know I'm guilty, which is, again, kind of convoluted. If he did that, do you think the league would take the team away from him?
No.
So neither do I. So what are we doing?
I do think the punishment would change. I think,
you do?
I think that if he can say to Roger Goodell, hey, I never said I was guilty. I never pled guilty. I accepted this deal just to make this all go away, but I never said I was guilty. They didn't say I was guilty. But under the deal that he's being offered, they have to say it.
Is there any parallels here to Tom Brady and what he went through with the league, where they were just desperate to get him to say that he was guilty, and then he was like, no.
Yeah, I know.
And then that kind of it ended up being worse. And then he ended up kind of just saying, all right, I'm not going to fight it anymore. And then he got suspended. But I feel like the league would almost appreciate it more if you admitted what you did. And again, it's hard to compare. Like, what Kraft did is different than what Brady did or did not do, or what Kareem Hunt did or did not do. And all these guys, they're all a little bit different. But you see how the league values what people say, and if they're honest or truthful with them.
I do think that Kraft's, you know, dream team of lawyers here, the three high-priced lawyers that he's got, they understand completely, especially the guy who works there in South Florida, worked on the Epstein case. He knows better than anybody.
Right.
What this state attorney is offering is not the norm. Normally, the way this thing goes is the deferred prosecution, everything, you know, I don't do anything wrong for a year. The case gets expunged from my record. It disappears. Nothing goes on. I don't have to say, well, you've got me. I'm guilty if this goes to trial. I think the state, and again, I go back to the whole Epstein thing, and I give Volin credit for saying this morning.
It's a good call.
They're trying so desperately to make up for how badly they botched the Jeffrey Epstein thing. They're now taking it out, well, on all of these guys, but led specifically by Robert Kraft, who's the high-profile guy they can stick out there in front of everybody.
Kraft has also filed a motion to suppress the evidence, obviously talking
the
about
tape.
The video evidence here. And as TJ Quinn says, this is in case there's no deal reached that would automatically seal it. Because that's still the number one goal. Obviously, Kraft doesn't want to have to admit to a crime, and that's fine, and that's he has his own reasons for it, and maybe he's certainly worried about what the league would end up doing to him. But overall, the tapes are even a more important thing.
There was a caller on OMF, and this was a week or so ago, and the guy actually happened to be calling from right outside the spa there, the Asian or
they had naked Jets fans walking by. You
I know
about that,
but he intense. And he was. I guess he's got a place down there.
Okay,
and he told Glenn and Lou and Christian that he had talked to NFL investigators down there. Now TJ Quinn tweets out here a few minutes ago. Multiple sources say NFL investigators have been all over Jupiter and West Palm Beach to find out if there's anything more about Kraft's story that hasn't gotten out. Had he been there before? Anywhere else? They want no surprises.
Well, and I always feel this way when it comes to somebody who gets in trouble for something like this. Do you think that's the first time they participated in something like that? Now, every once in a while, sure. We all have that friend who honestly says, first time I did fill in the blank and I got busted for it. But more often than not, there's a lot more there. And I would also be careful if you're the NFL or if you're an NFL owner and you really want to crack down on Robert Kraft, maybe make sure you're doing all right in your own house, right? Maybe make sure that they can't find anything pretty quickly on you. So that is definitely, that's the update on Kraft.
I will say this, and going back to Brady and finally just saying, you know what, to heck with it. I'll accept it. Let's just move on. I do think if you go back to that season and what was going on, I think the health issues that his mom was facing factored into his decision.
Oh, man, yeah.
She was in the middle of her cancer fight right then. I think he got to the point where he just said, you know what? It's not as
just
important as
it.
This.
Could be.
Let's just put an end to this.
Could be.
Let's move on. I do think that had some effect on his decision.
That could have a factor. Now, this just in from TJ Quinn on Twitter. He says, keep seeing reports that Kraft has rejected the deal, which we just read from the Boston Globe. And Quinn says, I don't believe that's true. He's indicated he will not agree to admit guilt, but it's a negotiation. So take it for what it's
worth.
Which
is what we said.
Yeah.
Here's the first offer, and now these three high-priced attorneys are saying, okay, here's our counteroffer.
Right.
And, you know, they'll go back and forth. It would be different than rejecting it if what they're saying is, hey, let's just negotiate here. And what's going to be the end of the negotiation from Kraft's point of view is, I'm not going to say that you've got me, I'm guilty.
So then what? We're going to court? If you say you won't admit guilt, but you won't accept this offer, I guess you're hoping for another offer where you don't have to admit that part of it. But what if that never comes down the pipe? Then what? Then all of a sudden you're going to court. You say, I didn't do it. Then they're like, all right, wheel in the TV, hit play.
Oh, no.
You did it.
No, he doesn't want that.
No, I know.
And maybe, you know, maybe the state attorney knows, look, we can negotiate all we want. You know, and I know, he doesn't want us wheeling that TV into the courtroom.
Exactly. That would be the absolute worst. So, yeah.
Do they just keep saying, the state keeps saying, no, 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 and then sooner or later he's got to say, all right, fine.
Jeez. So that's the latest on Robert Kraft. The other big story of the day, Mookie Betts was answering some questions about Mike Trout's contract, and Dale and I both agree it does not look good for the future of Mookie Betts and the Red Sox. We'll get your thoughts on it here. Let's start off with Tom in Upton. He's up next here on Dale and Keith. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hey, Tom.
I got a couple quick points on the overall baseball contract situation, and I'm hoping you'll give me 45 seconds to ramble through.
Got it.
First one is Mike Trout, $430 million. The gross domestic product of 180 countries is less than that. And if you just want to take the annual value around $37 million, 110 countries less. And you're paying a guy, so if you take WAR, which is what everybody's talking about now, he's probably about a plus seven, something like that, in his career, plus eight, maybe. And you take a $10 million center fielder, which they base the average player off, you're paying $25 million.
All right, so are you saying they shouldn't have signed him? Tom, just for me to jump in here, you're saying they shouldn't have signed Mike Trout?
I'm saying these contracts are out of control, and it's killing everything. Like, it's not just baseball fans. You're talking these TV deals are $300 million for the Angels.
Well, Tom, isn't that just what it is? If the Angels are making that much money from TV deals, shouldn't they invest in their team? And isn't Mike Trout a great investment?
Yes, okay. But again, as a fan,
yes,
I'm paying for toothpaste, TV, satellite, whatever you're paying. Every time someone signs one of these ridiculous contracts, You're just paying out the nose for everything else in your life because of the TV deals. And I know it's a capitalist society, but there's got to be something done.
I think, I'll be honest, I think he lost me at toothpaste. I'm all for toothpaste. Well, I use it twice a day. There seems to be
kind of a common argument out there, and I've heard it a lot, that, you know, these deals, this continuing series of deals, makes it impossible for a family of four to afford to go see a game anymore. I understand the argument, by the way.
Right.
Although I don't think it's a one-on-one thing. In other words,
well, they'd love for you to watch it on TV based on the TV deals that they'll have.
But I don't think, you know, now that the Angels have well, they're about to hand Mike Trout this $430 million. Okay, we got to raise prices 75% across the board. Hot dogs are $15 a throw now. It's not a one-to-one relationship.
No. No, Lou Maloney brought this up on Talking Baseball last night. It was a show I was on, Talking Baseball.
I was busy working, so I didn't get to see it. It's on my DVR at home. I'll be jumping all over that.
Well, I know it was a great hour of baseball, because when you think baseball in the city of Boston, you think Lou Maloney, you think Dan Shaughnessy, and you think Rich Keefe.
Rich Keefe.
So that was the three-headed
monster. I would put you higher on the list.
That was the three-headed monster we had last night. But that was Lou's point. And I forget what the exact numbers were, but it was essentially the L.A. Angels, last year, their payroll was $180 million. Just from TV, they got $150 million. So for one season, they got $150 million. So what? So you're already, that's before you even sell a single ticket, before you sell a single hot dog, before you do any of that other stuff. So if anything, they should be spending more money if you're the Angels. And I know it's hard to grasp, and it is for me too. Like you look at, you know, your paycheck, and then you look at what these guys are all getting to play sports, and you say, that is insane. And it's numbers that you can't even wrap your heads around. But there is just so much money involved. Like, there's so much money. And think about, like,
more than I'd expect, given what we consider to be dwindling numbers in Major League Baseball.
But I also look down at everything else, whereas if it wasn't for these professional sports leagues, like, how many other jobs would there not be? Like, you and I wouldn't have a job right now. Like,
what?
Yeah, that's right. If you can believe it.
Have you heard something?
Well, at least doing this.
Oh,
specifically.
Okay. I got you.
I assume the teams are all sticking around.
This is
around.
All I'm qualified this for, and I'm barely qualified for this.
No, that is definitely true. But there's just so much that goes involved in so many people, like whether it's stadium maintenance or stuff outside the stadium or what. There's so many different things involved, but it's taking a jump every kind of generation. Because remember when a player signed for $20 million a year, and he said, that is just silly. Like, $20 million, what are we doing? But now it's $30. And then you get into the NBA, some of these Supermax deals, guys are making $40 million a year. And Mike Trout's making $430 million guaranteed. It's hard to wrap your mind around it, but
J.J. Watt's wishing he was playing baseball.
That was a pretty good tweet.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
He was curious about that. Somebody also had a good tweet of Kyler Murray sprinting, and it said him going back to baseball. That wasn't bad. Let's go to Mike in North Providence. What's up, Mike?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I have a few points. One, speed guys tend to degrade historically in baseball after age 30, and a lot of his WAR is connected to his speed. The base running and the defense factor a lot into, you know, how high that WAR is.
Wouldn't you say the same would apply to Trout?
No, because one of the things about Trout is that Trout has his true power is far beyond Mookie's. Mookie is middle in. Why do you think that he's only has one home run in the postseason? And that was a missed curveball. It's supposed to be backdoor that Kershaw left middle in. I mean, honestly, if Kershaw hits his spot there, maybe Mookie has zero home runs. if you stay away from him, this is what opponents have done in the postseason. They just stay away from him because you're facing the best pitching staffs, and they can dot that outside corner.
But why don't they stay away from him in the regular season then?
Part of it is just not having the same quality of pitching that he's facing. I mean, that's a lot of it. And also, when it gets colder, he loses that 15, 20 feet that kind of helps him get those home runs.
He did talk about the cold today. He doesn't like the cold.
No, he said he didn't mind.
Oh, you know, he's sort of gotten used to it, but I don't know if that's ever true.
You know, with regards to Trout, if you stay away from Trout just like JD, they're going to hit a 450-foot home run to center or to right center. With Mookie, it's singles and doubles.
So you wouldn't sign him, Mike, is what you're saying.
Well, it goes beyond that a little bit. It's one of the most important teams I've watched recently are the Kansas City Royals when they went to the World Series twice. And that was a team, they didn't have any superstars. They had a good lineup that was 1-9 from very good to pretty good hitters. It was a complete team. And one of the things about war that should be a lesson for everybody is you can chop that money up in different ways. You know, a 10 war player, you can get that 10 from 4 here and 3 there and 2 there and divide the money up. I mean,
I don't know about that. I think you still want that. Now, I know Mike Trout has been an MVP on bad teams, right? I mean, it proves out that in all four of the sports, the one that one single player impacts it the least is baseball, but that doesn't mean you don't want him. Like, you want to surround him with better players. If you get like a halfway decent pitching staff, another guy or two in the lineup, and maybe the Angels are getting to the playoffs. You know, like, you look at Mookie Betts last year, he was great. He had an unbelievable season. He was the MVP and he deserved to be. But if he didn't have JD Martinez and Andrew Benintendi and Bogarts and Sale and Price, I mean, think about how many stars they have on their team. Obviously, he's able to win. The rosters aren't even close when you compare the Red Sox and the Angels. 617-779-7937. We have the news on Robert Kraft, although conflicting, because the Boston Globe is saying that he has denied the plea offer.
He's turned it down.
TJ Quinn is saying, haven't heard that.
That he's negotiating.
So that's
which,
up
by
in
the
here.
Way, makes more sense to me.
The negotiation part,
yes.
Me too. Yeah, it does for me. And then Mookie Betts spoke today about Mike Trout's contract, and it sounds like his days are numbered here in Boston. Plus, we will get to the Stephen A. Smith. He's sort of back at it again with some of his errors and misspeaks, which I think might be an act now. I'm convinced it might be an act. We'll get into that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio W.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
So you know how Stephen A. Smith has had a couple of blunders, but whether it's on his TV show or on the radio, and
I
just
think you're being a little harsh.
Blunders?
All right, maybe.
Too much? Too hard? Too stern?
Too soon?
Too stern? Now, he had one recently, and that's why we're bringing this up again, but just to get everybody caught up, there's Stephen A. Smith talking about the Washington Redskins quarterback situation from last year. Hold on a second. Hold on 1 second. Can I finish a damn story? No, so he was talking about, I think he wanted Colin Kaepernick to be on the Redskins, but then he goes on to this whole string of who was playing quarterback for the Redskins.
I don't think Alex Smith is going to be ready to come back from his injury next season. I think his career is in jeopardy. If you look at the Redskins last year, they had 5 different quarterbacks. Alex Smith, Josh Johnson, Colt McCoy. They even got Mr. Butt Fumble himself, Mark Sanchez, okay? And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
Do you know who Tress Way is?
Yeah, and I know he didn't start.
He might have started as the punter.
Yeah, well,
he's the punter.
I meant started quarterback.
No, he did not start a quarterback. So he just kind of threw that one. Because that's another example, and I think all of these are examples, of when you go, like, you overshare. Right? Like, he had a pretty good thing going there. He was Mr. Butt Fumble. That's funny. You're naming some of the other quarterbacks. And then you try to add one more. Instead, Tress Way was the team's punter from a year ago. Now you get him talking college football, right? College football draft's coming around. So let's get his thoughts on Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins.
Kyler Murray is electrifying. Haskins is no joke as well. I know that he's bigger. He can make all the requisite throws on the NFL level. He played for a big-time program at Ohio State. I just find him to be more of a runner than a thrower. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I find.
Okay, wrong about that.
He's not making some blanket statements based on...
I don't know what it's based on, Dale. You want some stats?
Yeah, I know. He didn't run much.
Dwayne Haskins, 5,396 passing yards.
Seems
for
like
his
a
career.
Lot.
In 22 games, 194 rushing yards.
Barely ahead of Tom Brady.
I was going to say he's on a Brady like pace. So that one is nowhere near, just not even close. And that is, didn't watch it, but was asked to talk about it and just took a stab at it. Was nowhere near. The other one, which got a lot of attention, was the Kansas City Chiefs were playing against the, I guess, L.A. Chargers, and Teddy Bruschi was on set, because this ended up being a great gif and meme and everything else, because Teddy was in there trying to make heads or tails of this. But this is him breaking down the big Chiefs-Chargers matchup.
I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson, and I got to keep my eyes on that because I'm looking at it from the standpoint. Listen, here's where I'm at with all of this.
This is where the eyes started to roll.
Derek Johnson?
Yeah.
You're looking around like, not
and Teddy's,
so sure.
And Teddy's got that look on
like,
his face
don't know about that one. But you put him in a tough spot. He's gotta, you know, talk about things that he doesn't really know. And then the most recent one.
So he has
this is on his radio show,
Jeff,
right?
Yeah, Jeff Passan's on yesterday, which ESPN has Jeff Passan on every show now.
Passan's really making the. I mean, he had the Trout story. He was the man yesterday.
He was on every single ESPN program, and that is not me, you know, saying that to be funny. He literally
was
on every single program yesterday.
Listen, you go, you talk to the guy. You
They're
know,
Jeff Passan him around.
John, you know what? Take the rest of the day.
Stay in your lane.
Take the rest of the day, John.
So Stephen A. had him on, and they were talking about the big Mike Trout deal.
Yes.
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season as the manager for this ball club. Does a contract like Mike Trout apply more pressure to somebody like him to turn things around, or else Marina's going to move in a different direction?
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad Ausmus is the manager.
I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that because Mike Socha was one of my favorite guys.
It's a list.
Like, not only around Mike Socha, will this move impact Mike Socha? Jeff Passan?
It might if he admires it from afar.
Jeff Passan could have made him feel like a real horse's patoot.
Probably not smart.
No, he didn't do that. Do you think this is an act?
No, it's not an act. I'll tell you what I think it is.
What is it?
It's not his fault.
It's not Stephen A.'s fault?
No, it's ESPN's fault.
Oh, I think
stop putting him on every single show on radio and TV. Stop stretching him so thin he can't possibly know everything that he needs to know to do the program. And stop making him do all this stuff.
I do think I don't like national shows for the most part. I don't like national shows. And part of it is not to make excuses for him, because some of this stuff I think is obvious. Like the Dwayne Haskins thing, like give me a break. But it's hard to know about every single team. Like, you're going to be talking about whatever the story goes. So one day you're talking about the Kansas City Royals. One day you're talking about the, Pittsburgh Steelers. The next day you're talking about Florida State
much
football.
Easier to do like what we do.
Yeah, much easier. This is the easiest job in the world, Dale, what we're doing. But what those guys are doing, it's a little bit trickier. But it's like there's so many examples of it now where you're like, ugh. And I feel like they're all somewhat recent. Either we haven't been paying attention for the years or they're just starting to add up. And you wonder if, you know, how much is this, are producers giving him questions to ask? And then he just doesn't even double check it, and some of these other people are getting him wrong?
I worked at ESPN a long time ago, ESPN Radio.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I was one of the first guys on ESPN Radio.
Ross, did you know this?
This is unbelievable.
This is news to me. News to me.
Sorry. I used to drive down on the weekends to do ESPN Radio. Yeah. And
with Mike and Dale?
No. They have all these young, energetic producers who are just like filled with sports knowledge and can't wait
to all stump the Schwabs.
And they all want to set you up to sound really smart. This is not a producer at ESPN falling asleep on the Socha thing and saying, oh, damn it, I'm sorry, Steven, I didn't mean to tell you about Socha. Of course he's not there. No, they know.
Okay. Now, if you were ever on Stump the Schwab, the TV show,
I'd get my ass kicked.
But at the very end, I believe this is the right show I'm talking about. At the very end, you have your specialty. So if you make it through, if you beat the other two contestants, you get through to the end, you get to pick a very specific topic or whatever, or subgenre.
Category.
Category.
Subgenre.
If you could pick any subgenre or category, Jason, if you want to use that, such a crass word. What would you pick? What would your expertise be?
Dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah, just something that would...
Specifically, what about dragons?
Just dragons.
Cause, I was going to say like 1956 Bruins.
When I went, a little before my time. But
that's what you studied.
So back, you know, when I was in high school, yeah. Brunswick High School mascot was the Dragons.
So you know
I
a lot about
my knowledge
them.
Base went from there.
Now, are they all fire-breathing?
Aren't all dragons fire-breathing?
There's probably one that can't, and he's really looked at as a real loser. Like,
they
one
call
guy.
Him a lizard.
Yeah, that's true. You're a little bit different. I think mine would be where NBA players played college, and you would go from, like, 90 to, like, 2010. And in that...
So you would just kick butt.
I would smoke it. That would
as soon
be,
as
be
somebody
my best
said,
yeah.
Dennis Dembo.
Name a guy. And you would just start...
Say Wyoming.
You just start firing names across. That's probably the best category I would have. You, of course, would go Dragons, which is a little bit of a different category.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be.
Dale, I got this tweet in. I think we both actually got this tweet in. Hypothetical, going back to the Mookie Betts conversation. If the Red Sox offered Mookie Betts $400 million and he says no... which, based on his comments, sound like that could very well be the case, can they get a lot more by trading him now, 2 years and about $50 million of control, then make some other moves? That was from
yes.
Rob on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely could get more because you're getting him for 2 years under, you know, reasonable money. Not cheap money, but reasonable.
Yeah.
Yes, you'd get much more now, but I want to get production out of him for a year. Trade him in the next offseason. No, I'm not going to get as much in return, but I'm getting a full season of Mookie Betts production, which you'd think he's going to be extremely motivated because apparently he's hell-bent on going to free agents.
If you weren't a World Series contender, it would be a smart business move to trade him now. But you are. You're one of the four best teams in all of baseball.
You're right there.
So you really need to bring him back. And the way he has set it up for himself... it's like he is in back-to-back contract years. Because usually a guy has that big push at the end, he's going to cash in, and there you go, it makes sense. But if he's betting on himself to this degree, where I wouldn't be surprised if he has turned down a $400 million deal, or at least a $375 million deal, or something insane, richest contract in team history.
According to Sean McAdam, he turned down $100 million. According to Joel Sherman, he turned down $200 million. Now the question here becomes, if there's a three in front of it, does he turn it down? And my guess is yes.
Yeah, he should. If it's Harper money, he should turn down Harper money.
But if there's a number that has a four at the beginning.
Little boy, you should probably take it.
And he turns it down.
See ya. But I'm with you, though. But
he's gone.
How could... going into a season knowing that you're going to trade him the next season, I mean, I guess you got to hope that he can just focus. Like, will this ever get to a point where it distracts him and it becomes a problem for him? All these other guys, they were able to sign their deals, stay with their teams, or in the case of Harper and Machado, play out their year and then go and sign somewhere else. Is this going to be, because this is sort of a unique position for him. Just won the World Series, just won the MVP, and now this year he's going to be thinking about his contract a lot. So we'll continue with that. We've got an hour
Keith,
to go.
Hold on. We have a question for you.
We have a question for me?
You just said, I don't have a dragon history question.
No.
But we have an NBA player.
Oh, boy. No, there's too much pressure on
this
me.
This was your expertise, correct?
There's too much pressure. Yeah.
You're a subgenre.
Yeah.
Francisco Elson.
Fresno State?
Incorrect. You do not win.
Come on.
But you're in the right state.
Where'd he go?
You hit him with a Francisco Elson out of
nowhere. Well, I should have gotten that. Where'd he go?
He went to California. Yeah. Cal.
I was all
you
over
were
it.
In the state.
I sniffed it out. So then I would have lost.
Well
lost
done,
Stump,
Keith.
I would have lost Stump the Schwab right there.
Dale, how many toenails do dragons have?
Ooh.
Three.
Ooh.
That's correct.
Ooh. Yeah. Three toenails.
They have one on the...
Per mitt, though. So they.
Well,
have...
I thought he meant per...
Okay. No, that's true.
That's what
you didn't add up the total number? Hey, I was looking over the available free agents, Dale, in the NFL, and I have two that I would like the Patriots to sign.
I assume that's a tease.
That's a tease. What do you think of that? I'll tell you who they are when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns,
including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.